Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Ho, 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 and break out the baseball savant page. The Astros made a trade. Welcome into a bonus episode of Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. We're going to get into Friday's three-team deal in which the Astros acquired right-handed pitcher Mike Burrows. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. Nothing like an emergency podcast as we enter the weekend before Christmas. So, three-team deal between the Pirates, Rays, Astros. The pertinent parts are the Astros send Jacob Melton and Anderson Brito to Tampa and receive Mike Burrows from the Pirates. We said just a few days ago, in Dana Brown's quest for young, controllable pitching, the targets were likely going to be unexciting because they were probably going to be projects. Now, Burrows isn't exactly a project, but kind of, in the sense that he has the trajectory of a decent back end of the rotation starter with the upside of maybe a higher middle of the rotation starter. The opinions of social media GMs are all over the place in response to this trade. So I want to get your thoughts. What do you think of Burrows and the trade capital expended by Dana Brown to get him here? Charlie, you start us off.
Yeah, I guess we'll open with a spin around the wheel and in broad reaction to it. Prevailing sentiment, which I understand, is ho-ho-hum. Ho-hum, a guy who pitched 95 competent innings, a couple of years removed from Tommy John surgery. The biggest point in the acquisition is he's dirt cheap and will remain that way. Not even arbitration eligible, with the asterisk, footnote, caveat, subject to terms of whenever a collective bargaining agreement takes effect in 2027 or whenever they're playing baseball after 2026. But cheap, cheaper, and cheapest, right? Those are the prospective starting pitchers the Astros have added this offseason. Ryan Weiss at $2.6 million. Nate Pearson at a little over $1.3 million. Mike Burrows will make about $800,000 as he's not even close to salary arbitration eligible. Dana Brown, a little overly effusive. Of course, you shouldn't expect him to poo-poo his own trade, but that they think Burrows could be a pillar of their rotation, to which I would respond, well, some pillars are stronger and sturdier and longer lasting than others, but I do think it's fair to accept Brown's characterization of Burrows as an upside play. He has an interesting array of stuff, mid-90s fastball. He had a big traditional breaking curveball, which he's kind of kicked to the curb using more of a change split, he calls it. But that's his best pitch in his estimation, the change of speed, and has a slider in there. He's not a terrible get. If 2025 was his build back up year, he had the Tommy John early 2023. Returned in the minors mid-2024, cup of coffee with the Pirates late 2024. Then after starting in the minors this past season, got the call up, handful of relief appearances, 19 starts, a sub-4 earned run average for a fourth or fifth starter, plays very nicely. Can he hold up as a 25-27 start guy in their rotation? I'll hold off on what they gave up to get him.
I love the trade. And in this rotation, he might be your number three behind Javier. I mean, just being real with who they have, and Arrigetti, if he would have pitched the whole year, then I'd have a different opinion, but he hadn't done enough yet. So I love the move. I like his arsenal here. And Astros have had a lot of success with guys with changeups, Ronel Blanco and Jason Alexander last year. And so I think that makes a lot of sense for them too. I love that the fastball sits around 96. And Charlie mentioned it. He doesn't really throw the sinker or the curveball that much. He also has a slider. So I think it's a good fit. Imagine what he can do with the Astros. They'll tinker with his arsenal and maybe use this pitch more or that pitch more. So I'm down with that. The other thing that's interesting to me with Jacob Melton going in this deal, I wonder if that impacts Jake Meyers still being available, or perhaps they go somewhere else. But that just kind of occurred to me. If Melton's out of the picture, maybe they want to hold on to Jake Meyers, or maybe not. Cole might be a guy that they want to play in center field too. So we'll see. Have to see how it goes. But we also heard Dana Brown talking about just today. He was on Zoom with the media and he answered a bunch of questions, and he talked about all the different guys they have, the glut of infielders. They're still looking for a backup catcher. So they're not done yet. So we'll see how it goes. But just face value, we won't know how these prospects turn out for a few years. But they needed a starting pitcher, somebody that could eat some innings. Hopefully he becomes that guy. So I like the move. He's got good size. I think he was, what, around 6'1", 200 pounds, something like that. So young talent. Let's see what they do with him.
Did not average 5 innings per start. Part of that was the Pirates weren't contending, so they weren't going to push the guy in his build back up season a year removed from Tommy John. Specifically to the fit here, hey, Josh, he could be their number two guy. Burrows pitched better last season than Christian Javier has over any of the three seasons. 2023, Javier was not good. 2024, missed. And then 2025, wasn't very good. Before being lost again. So Weiss coming from Korea is really a wild card. Burrows pitched very competently at the major league level for a lousy Pirate team with poor defense, no run support. So forget the one loss record. Sub-4 ERA in the peripherals, if you're into FIP and that type of stuff. He pitched pretty much to what the ERA says. Mild home run problems, but a lot of guys have those. Not nearly as bad as, say, Hayden Wesneski had before the Astros acquired him. And by the way, Wesneski's not going to be ready till midseason, if then. Blanco's not going to be ready until midseason, if then. And specifically, if the Astros could have traded, and this was your only option, do it, not do it, Spencer Arrighetti for Mike Burrows, they'd have made the trade. Arrighetti had 2 good months after the All-Star break in 2024, but his body of work, not as good as what Burrows did with the Pirates in 2025. All right, Arrighetti, before he got hurt, I won't penalize him for coming back and not being very good late in the season, but how he started 2025 was not as good as what Burrows did in 2025. And Arrighetti's one season away from being salary arbitration eligible. Under the current rules, Burrows is still 3 years away. So the projected rotation is not going to make anyone go, uh-oh, the Astros are coming to town. How are we going to hit them after Hunter Brown? That at this point is probably Javier, Burrows, Weiss, and then a potpourri, a poo-poo platter that they hope isn't more poo-poo than platter of guys competing for that fifth spot among Alexander and Blue Ball and McCullers, whoever else you want to put into it. Now, in terms of what they gave up, hey, if Jacob Melton becomes a viable major leaguer, good for him. I'm not buying it. That he was the Astros' number one prospect speaks to the sad state of the Astros' system. Jacob Melton goes to the Rays. He plugs in there as their number four prospect, a Rays system that has had some atrophy because of promotion through the years, not as stacked as it traditionally has been for the Rays. But Melton never tore it up in the minor leagues. He was worse than pitiful, small sample size, but 70 at-bats, 29 strikeouts, 70 at-bats, 1 extra base hit. Yes, he's a very good defensive center fielder. You know what? They're not hard to find. The Astros have one of those in Jake Meyers. The market for old Jake turned out to be not very good. He's about to turn 30. Was he over his head before the calf injury? Meyers and Zach Cole sets up now as a possible platoon-type spot in center field, a partial platoon. Meyers is going to play more than just against lefties. Zach Cole's a big winner in this deal. It clears Melton out of the mix as the young potential center fielder because it's not going to be Cam Smith. He needs to establish his offensive viability. But you have Sanchez and Smith as platoon parts in right field at this point. Meyers and Cole, platoon parts in center field at this point. And I guess Yordan Alvarez damn near every day in left field. That would be a little Christmas miracle that comes early.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Yeah, and go back to your point about Arrigetti for Burrows. I would have done that, especially because I would have preferred to hold on to Brito. And you said it. I mean, Jacob Melton had some flashes, but the flashes weren't fireworks. They were more eating pop rocks in the dark, especially with looking at Shane Boz getting snatched off the trade market by Baltimore for a price that Houston would have never paid. Mm-hmm. I mean, four prospects and a pick. So this move definitely feels like all the tea leaves that we've been reading were pointing towards this. A project, a young guy, controllable for a lot of years that they can run through the Astros car wash, that term that Josh coined here, years ago. We'll give you attribution. So let's do a deeper dive. You were listing some of the available options for Houston in 2026 at starting pitching. I'm going to list that just so that everyone who's listening can be refreshed. So Hunter Brown at the top, Christian Javier, Spencer Arrigetti, Lance McCullers, Jason Alexander, JP France, Mike Burrows, Nate Pearson, Ryan Weiss, AJ Blueball, Colton Gordon, maybe Roderick Munoz somewhere in the mix. And the guys recovering from TJ, as you said, expected maybe late summer, if at all. Ronel Blanco and Hayden Wesneski. So given the amount of injuries that this team has occurred over the past couple of seasons, Brown has ensured that there's some depth. I want to know what you guys think about this round robin rotation of what you think we'll see from the available options Brown and Espada has. As it is right now, who do you think are the more likely plug-and-play solutions?
It's a weekend rotation with Fromber out and bringing in multiple bodies to replace him. The Astros, from two down in their starting rotation, are lesser than pretty much any contender we could name in the American League. So Hunter Brown damn well better be that ace again that he was throughout 2025. Fellas, it's not personal. It's business. Cross JP France, Colt Gordon off immediately. Colt Gordon just does not have major league stuff. I don't think JP France does either. He had a wonderful fluky run for a couple of months, a couple of years ago, hit the wall late in that season. Injuries since, he's in his 30s. I feel it's likely that Jason Alexander, the same thing. He rented his soul to the devil for a couple of months. I don't know about a sale. If he emerges as a viable, with some staying power starting pitcher, great. But at this point, coming out of spring training, they're going to need six starters. They play seven games off day, six games off day, 13 days in a row after that. So they're going to want six pitchers on their staff, six starting pitchers on their staff when they come west from Florida. And barring any injury setbacks, Brown, Javier, Burrows, Weiss, I'll go Arrigetti if he doesn't have a horrible spring. And if he doesn't break down, does McCullers get benefit of the doubt because he's one more year of $17 million on the books?
they'll give him an opportunity to do so. It just, can he stay healthy? You know, we haven't seen that be the case. And he was so up and down even when he was on the field, but they're paying him so much money, they'll give him a shot. And they're so weak at the position, so that there's no risk. They already gave him all the money. So yeah, Lance will get a shot, but I don't have high expectations. And I agree with Charlie. That's what the rotation looks like as we pencil it in here in December. I also find it interesting too that the Rays, boy, they love Astros defensive center fielders with Jose Suri. Remember, now we got Jacob Melton. Something to that. I don't know. They value that defense out in center field. But look, the rotation's better, a lot better now. At least you have a guy. I think Burrows, he can slot in there in the middle of the rotation, your third, fourth starter. Hopefully Christian Javier, he has the ability to really bounce back and have a great year. We've seen Javier have dominant stuff. We just haven't seen enough of it lately. And of course, you have to worry about the injuries with him. But the starting rotation got better. There's no doubt about it. They needed this. Hopefully, they're not done. And they also added Pearson from the Blue Jays a few weeks ago. So they have some pieces. But Blue Ball's the guy I would like to see take a step forward. He has the stuff. I think he could be a guy at the back end of the rotation. I know Alexander had some good moments, but at least Blue Ball has that typical big league stuff where he can throw in the mid-90s. So I don't know. I like it. I'm glad they did something. We've been waiting, and we weren't expecting a huge deal, and we didn't want them to go out and get King, who just signed a new deal. We didn't want them to jeopardize the pick that Hunter Brown got them. They need to rebuild this farm system. They have two picks in the first round, so this should be a good year where they can add some talent.
If a starting rotation is assembled on a roulette wheel, Dana Brown has some on reds and some on blacks and some on odds and some on evens, but that still leaves a lot of numbers that you don't have a bet on. And Hunter Brown's the green, the double zero, the one special one that stands out there. So they're just hoping that with enough spins of the wheel, some of their numbers hit. I do want to speak briefly to Anderson Brito, because I'm sure the interwebs are in hysterics. How could you trade Anderson Brito? Hey, exciting. I mentioned a week or two ago that with a vivid imagination, you could conjure up an image of a young Pedro Martinez. That was an extremely vivid imagination. Just because you're 5'10", 155, and throw hard doesn't mean you're ever going to resemble a faint facsimile of Pedro Martinez. Most prospects don't pan out. That Brito's 21. If he goes on to be a star and the Rays win this deal in a landslide, well, these things happen. But Brito, because of his small stature, does he fill out at all? Ultimately, is he going to be a hard-throwing reliever? Does he throw out that little but gifted arm of his? He's not a good enough prospect to be indispensable. That he was an Astros top five prospect, again, a nice prospect, but that's in the Astros system. He went in the slot MLB pipeline sixth in the Rays system. Burrow should help this major league team now and for the next couple of years on the dirt cheap. Brito at the outside, it's 2027 before he makes a big league debut. It's not like they traded what Hunter Brown has become in thinking, hey, could that be Anderson Brito in the future? You never know, but the Astros trading prospects from one of the worst farm systems in baseball, there's nothing tragic or remotely should be anyway, shouldn't be anything remotely revolting about it. Remember, the Astros haven't taken a guy in the first round in 10 years now who's amounted to anything. So one of their many international free agent signings, I'll tell you what, it's not pitcher for pitcher. If they traded a kid named Kevin Alvarez, that would have bothered me a lot more. 17-year-old Cuban they signed a year ago, who the early signs are, oh, hitting prodigy. You know, Yordan, one of his idols, and so forth. Guys who can throw it really hard in the lower minors are a dime per dozen.
Yeah. And tip of the hat to Dana for getting creative here. Three-team trade, you know, he's calling around. He said you have to be aggressive in these situations. So, and I remember Burrows, I think he pitched really early in the year against the Astros. From what I remember, he looked good. And I know he's not at,
shut him out for 5 1/3 innings, 6 strikeouts.
Yeah, not an innings monster in that appearance either, but hopefully they can build towards that as he gets further away from that TJ surgery.
Yeah, Charlie, I agree with you on both points on Brito and also the France and Gordon not being big leaders, but Brito is just not a luxury that Houston can indulge right now. They need someone who's ready to start working with right now, and Brito is much farther down the line. Getting back to viable options for the rotation, in addition to that category of people who I don't consider big leaguers, unfortunately, I'm going to just put it out there. I don't count Lance McCullers in that category anymore either. I don't think he has major league stuff anymore. I agree with Josh that he'll get a chance, not just out of contractual obligations, but also loyalty to a guy who has meant a lot to this team and some of the franchise's biggest moments. And so he deserves every opportunity and he'll get it. But with him, I don't think it's about health per se, unless we're talking about getting blown up in games and then getting sent to the IL for phantom injuries. I just don't think he has it anymore. And that's no shame on him. Sometimes your body just breaks down. Sometimes the hill is just too far to climb back up. Now, I can't imagine that Dana Brown looks at these options that we're looking at and wants to be finished adding starting pitching. But there's also, as Josh mentioned, still the matter of the lefty bat and backup catcher to attend to. I was looking at that ugly sheet on Cott's contracts where they project out the CBT numbers, and Houston's about $22.2 million under the CBT right now. So you can't really expect them to sign a big name without going over that threshold, which seemingly they don't have any interest in. So what's the next domino to fall for Houston?
I think in terms of anything that we would consider impactful, and by impactful, I don't mean wow, but Mike Burrows is an impactful acquisition. When you trade for a guy you think is going to be your number three starter, that's a planned, impactful pickup. It's about backup catcher. Yainer Diaz was not a good player in 2025. Whether the new hitting coach regime can turn the light bulb on him or Yainer matures and it just took a little longer. I mean, a 281 on base percentage with declined power from where he was as a rookie. And we know his work behind the plate isn't anything special and he can't throw anyone out. Switch hitting backup catcher. God, I hope it doesn't turn out to be Jonah Heim. If they have not been active with Caratini, who clearly hasn't found a winning offer in his estimation to this point, they should go after him. Look, there aren't 30 good starting catchers in the major leagues, which is why I think Caratini is going to be able to find a spot at more money than the Astros are wanting to pay, or at least getting him more playing time than he would project to get here. Cody Bellinger is the perfect fit player out on the market, but forget it. I mean, he's going to be 6 years, $175 million or something like that. So unless with these pitching acquisitions, it's not as if any of them come or get no trade clauses. They're thinking they can aggregate some of what they had in their system. Arrighetti, I mean, Pearson signed for $1.4 million, so no one's going to trade anything for him. They could have offered him $1.5 million and outbid the Astros. I think they largely have their team. And if Dana Brown trades for a quality left-handed major league bat, good for him. But their lineup now, it's not a good one if Yordan Alvarez isn't a 130-game-plus beast.
I'd feel a lot better if they signed Justin Verlander tomorrow. I know he's an older player, but if they get him to a one-year deal, you put him in this rotation. Now you're actually, you got something there. I know you're gambling on him being healthy and not falling off a cliff, but you know, within a few days, if you add Burrows and Verlander, then all of a sudden you can kind of push everybody back there, and then you're not feeling so queasy about your fifth and sixth starter.
Yeah, Verlander would be a gamble, but this entire rotation outside of Brown is a gamble. This is just throwing stuff against the wall. I mean,
Hunter Brown is the only guy who would make the Seattle Mariners starting rotation.
The point being is whatever rotation we see in game one is probably likely not going to be anything like the rotation that we see later, because I think they're just going to be trying to figure it out as they go during the season. But they still have this surplus of infielders. So one last question before out the door for you guys. Do you get the feeling that Houston ends up trading a guy like Paredes first because he's got more value and they can get something better back for him? Or do you think they end up moving a guy like Walker, in which would it be much more purely of a salary dump to be able to maneuver to do something else?
Of those two, I would hope it would be the latter. If that's the case, as we've talked about in recent weeks, Jose Altuve is not a good three-hole hitter off what he's done the last couple of years. Carlos Correa for damn sure is not a good cleanup hitter, really, for most of his career, what he's done offensively. Certainly nothing that he did in 2025 as a Twin or an Astro, for that matter, save the first nine games after the trade. They're well under the tax. So to trade, to move money does not make sense. I don't think Paredes is getting you a frontline starter. So unless you're getting an outfield bat that you're thinking is as good an offensive player as Paredes, I don't get the point of the deal. Paredes is under control for 2 years at probably roughly $20 million combined for those two seasons. They may have their team.
Yeah, when Dana was asked about the log field, when asked about the log jam in the infield, he was like, well, if we get overwhelmed or really impressed with some offer where somebody comes and just dazzles us with an offer for one of these guys, yeah, maybe we'll do it. I just don't see that happening. But he also talked about, you know, Yordan in left field again and Altuve. And then we heard from Espada, they plan on only DHing Yordan to keep him healthy. So I don't think it's they're not on the same page like I originally thought. I think Dana Brown's just being coy. Like, Joe Espada, stop telling everybody that we want Yordan just to DH. We're trying to make some trades here. We want it to look like we have different options. And if we get the right offer, then we may move this guy or that guy. Because I think they really do want to move Christian Walker and they want to hold on to Paredes. But if every other team knows that you only want to DH Yordan, then that takes some leverage away when you're trying to make a deal. And we've said this before, I'll make the point again, Yordan is so injury prone with running into Pena and the chronic hand injuries and sliding into second base and rolling his ankle crossing home plate. There's so much of that going on. Do you want the guy with chronic hand injuries playing in left field with a metal scoreboard? Like that just doesn't make any sense to me. But I think that's what's going on, is the spot is just telling you the truth, where Dana's trying to kind of play it a little closer to the vest because he knows there are deals to be negotiated and he doesn't want all his business out there.
Yordan played 48 games total in 2025. He played fewer than 60 games in the outfield in the two prior seasons. Conceptually, planning to have him play more than 100 games in the outfield seems desperate or stupid.
Even though he may literally be your best arm in the outfield, but we'll leave it there. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Remember, for Texans fans, we do our other podcast, Texans on Tap. So make sure you go subscribe to that, as we're going to be live after Sunday's game. So for Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.